I said last week that she was a child. A child in today's eyes is what we think. But as I was studying this, I realized that it was normal at that time in Israel to be betrothed at such a young age. Okay, I found between, it was like, I saw 7 to 15, but I actually found more that said 12 to 15 years old to be betrothed. And most scholars believe that Christ was born right around when she was 16. So, I don't know how you were between 7 and 15 years old, but to have this woman's faith, this young lady's faith, her unbelievable, unstoppable patience, it is amazing. It amazes me. So I want to read today from Luke 1. I will be starting, I don't want to get into the whole story of Zechariah, how Gabriel appeared to Zechariah first, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. But the birth of Jesus is foretold, and in many books and many religion, in our religion, it's called the Annunciation or the Announcement of the Coming Messiah. Okay, so this is Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Come on. 7 to 15. Who could? I couldn't say anything to an angel. I'd be afraid. But she was not only afraid, she conversed with the angel. She not only conversed with the angel, but she talked to the angel in a sense that she had enough wherewithal, enough maturity for her young age to ask certain questions and not be offensive, as we see that Zechariah was. Zechariah asked a question in doubt. And the angel Gabriel did what? Closed his mouth until John was born. And John the Baptist is who we were talking about here. So let's start off on this. So I just mentioned that Gabriel is the same angel that visited Elizabeth, her cousin, okay? And the Annunciation is, she was telling, the angel Gabriel was telling her about the great plan for her son, our Savior. Matthew Henry puts a comment in here, right here. He says, "As bad angels are none of the redeemed, so good angels are none of the redeemers. Yet they are employed by the Redeemer as his messengers, and they go cheerfully on his errands because they are his father's humble servants and his children's hearty friends and well-wishers." Angels are. Okay? They are not the redeemers. They are not Christ. They are messengers of God. They are his servants. It is God who has sent Jesus Christ as our redeemer. Okay? Not Gabriel. He is not the one that did the redeeming. Christ died for our sins. Christ. And we're going to talk about this. Listen. "A narrative given to the Lord of our mother, of whom was he was born, and not to pray to, yet ought to be praised for." Okay? We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to Gabriel the angel, but the one who is coming, the one who Mary will bear, is the one that we pray to. Amen. Same with Mary. You know, she is amazing, okay? She's amazing. She was a chosen instrument of God. Just like God's angels are his messengers. He was chosen. Oh, favored one. We'll talk about that. So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. All right, this is kind of interesting because, you know, of the house of David. She bears that behind her name, as does her betrothed husband, Joseph. They're both from the clan of David. Most believe that Mary through her mother's side. I'm not going to get into the lineage. It's there, but that's why behind her name is Mary of the house of David. Okay. But also through Joseph is of the house of David. But it's interesting because, you know, you think of the house of David, you think of King David, his line is going to come and his line will last forever through Jesus who was born. You would think it would be, well worth city. And what do I mean by that? I mean, populated, rich, industrial, up and coming, modern type city, right? With the times, whatever that looks like at the times. Galilee was not that. Galilee was poor and broken, of low means. People scrounged and had to work. And Nazareth was just as poor. And that's where we're from here. That's the means and where our Lord and Savior comes, but it fits, does it not? Our Lord and Savior comes from the lowest, the meanest possible type of family, yet brings the biggest, the best, the most beautiful gift that we can never earn on our own. And we're talking salvation. Coming from the lowest possible, tiniest, poorest village. Okay, to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So let's get it straight. Her name is Mary, and I looked it up, and everywhere, you know, King James Bible, Webster's 1828, the blue letter Bible definition of Mary is slightly rebellious. Really? Rebellious. Who would have thought of it, right? Oh, Mary. Somebody just, you know, might have called you out. I'm not saying anything, but, you know, are you slightly rebellious? No, not at all, all right? So Mary, our mother of our Lord and Savior, slightly rebellious. That's just what the name means. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what she was, but I thought I'd throw that out there because, you know, in these times, it seems that names mean a lot, you know? I think nowadays we name our child something most of us, well, not me. Other people name their child something that, you know, they like the sound of it, or, you know, it might be a name after a relative or something like that. But the actual definition and meaning of names, you know, did you know, Mama, that my name means God's peace when you name me? Come on. I'm not saying no, you did, but thank you then. So rebellion is what her name is, but meaning rebellious. And from the line of David, listen, even though at this point in time, so long after King David, and in this town where it was poor, it was still worth having as a tag on the end of your name, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think? Since it was coming from the line of Judah. So there was never any way that Joseph or Mary would not have been using that, I don't know what you call that at the end, you know, that surname or something, that of the house of David. It was worth keeping because as it was promised, the long-awaited Messiah was coming through the line of David. She was a virgin, had not known a man, not at all, betrothed to a man who was most likely a few years older than she was. Because he was not to be born of ordinary generation, but by miraculous divine conception, she had to be a virgin. She was a virgin. It was necessary that she was a virgin. Now, this is an interesting quote. I believe it's from Gill. So that though he must partake of the nature of man, and who is the he I'm talking about? Jesus. Jesus must partake of the nature of us, yet not of the corruption of that nature. Okay? That means what? Adam sinning. our prideful self. Okay? He must be man, but he must not be of that corruption. And we can't, there's no baby born today that isn't already by nature sinful, except for one. One, our Lord. Because fully man, fully God. We'll get into it. Again, like I said, Galilee was kind of poor. One of my commentators said, not known for religion or learning.
Oh.
Maybe for work, pit digging. I don't know. But it was not known for a high standard of religion or learning. But it's interesting because several commentators noted that having his relations reside here foreshadows the fact that the coming Savior, salvation, will be for all man, including Gentiles. And that would be us. Thank God. Praise God. Okay? So verse 28, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Come on. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, would you not be amazed if an angel of God came and called you favored one? O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, we know that Christ is with us. We know that we have a piece of God living within us. As believers today, we have the Holy Spirit living within our heart. That's what happens when we turn from ourselves and turn to Christ and forgiveness of sin. When we believe in that, we are given as a deposit of our future hope and eternal salvation, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we are sanctified by this. We are taught, we are corrected. He's the one that makes you feel guilty. He's the one that helps you pray when you don't know how to pray. He's the one that puts you on the right path when you've made a wrong choice. We need that. We have that now, but at that time, no. O favored one, the Lord is with you. That's a lot. And the King James Version said, blessed art thou among women. Blessed are you, Mary rebellious, among women. Okay, I mean, this is from Gabriel saying that's what the King James said. Henry says, this word might put it in her mind of Emmanuel. Meaning what? God is with us. Okay, so she's thinking, whoa. Which a virgin shall conceive and bear. So why not her? She might be thinking. I mean, I've got this angel in front of me. His name is Gabriel. Blessed are you, O favored one. So why not her? Listen. The divine presence of God was upon her. Not standing to the left or to the right or even in Gabriel in front of her. It was on her already. Okay? Just like in Jacob's dream, when back in Genesis, when you have an angel telling Abraham, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Isaiah, feel the presence of God here. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned and the flame shall not consume you. Feel the presence of God here today when we say Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered in whose name? Jesus' name. There am I among you. He's here today. He's with us. He's filling us. He saw this. One more for him. Praise God, Adam. Listen, nothing is to be with hope. Not the performance of any type of service, not the obtaining of any favor, though ever so great, if we have God with us. Again, a quote from Matthew Henry. When we have God with us, we have the greatest hope of all. Amen. Greatest hope. We need to live in a different way, like we understand that hope. And here is this young woman going through this whole thing, 7 to 15, 12 to 15, I don't care. I couldn't even spell my full name until I don't know when. You know what I mean? And here is this amazing woman being graced with his presence. And so that's just another thing. God blessed her. O favored one, the Lord is with you. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And it is the reminder because Isaiah was before this moment of Luke, right? So everyone knew who was an Israelite, who was part of Israel's religion at that point in time, that in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the who? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I don't know about you, but this is kind of a big sign. The angel Gabriel is talking to this young woman, calling her favored. The Lord is with you. Mothers, thank you. I'm just going to say that. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. How blessed are we? She's dignified. Mary is dignified, meaning exalted. She's honored by this angel. It's not like he went down the street and started talking to every little girl, every young woman, I should say. She is dignified. She had more of the inherent graces of the Spirit than most any of her time, apparently. Had to be, as the mother of our Lord and Savior. She, verse 29 says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What? A child had a problem with the way this angel was greeting her. She was trying to discern what it meant. All right, now this is from John Gill, and it's a big thing at this moment. But what we see here is she was afraid of what was happening here. What do you mean? What's going on here? And we have that kind of, it's called, I saw a thing called needless fear. And we do it to ourselves sometimes, don't we? Listen to this verse from Mark 32 to 34. And he looked around to see who had done it. This, we're talking about the woman in the crowd who was following Jesus because she had a medical issue, an ongoing medical issue that just none of the doctors could fix, none of the medicines could fix. And she knew that Christ, she had that faith that Christ could heal her. So she's following him through the crowd. You remember the story? You with me? Okay. And she looked around and she reached out and she just said to herself, if I could just touch the fringes of his robe, I know I can be healed. And so this is where we pick it up. And Jesus, he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. She had a fear of what this angel was saying, but she had a faith that overwhelmed her even more. That's what we need to have, you guys. We need to just reach deep and trust our Lord and Savior. We need to, when we're struggling, and we've talked about it yesterday in men's prayer breakfast, you know, we need to discipline ourselves to go to prayer. Okay? We need to be in prayer all the time. Just like this woman was who reached out and knew that if she just touched his robe, she would be healed. If you are struggling, if you are worried, go to the Lord in prayer. He will hear you. He died so he could, okay? Have that same faith, that strength of faith that Mary has. She felt she was not worthy of such a greeting. She was humbled by it enough to try to figure out what this meant. The Lord said, I'm favored. The Lord says, with me. What does all this mean? I'd be confused. I mean, come on. Gill says, for it was not unusual with the Jews for a man to use any salutation to a woman. With them, it was not lawful to be done in any shape or form, not by a messenger, nor even by her own husband, so that Mary might well be thrown into concern what should be the meaning of this, and especially that she should be addressed in such language and saluted as a peculiar favorite of God and blessed among women. There might be some questions, wouldn't you think? In her mind, in her young mind going, what's going on here? But yet she wasn't afraid. She was just discerning. Verse 30 says, the angel said to her, and this is beautiful because, you know, I mean, he's a divine being. He's a messenger of God. What does he say to her? Do not be afraid. Straight up. Gives her peace. Gives her comfort. Gives her encouragement. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. He says it again to her. And I'm sorry, but I don't think there's anybody in here that if they were confronted with a divine being, that you might be afraid. Because we're sinners by nature. Yes, we're forgiven, but divine being. Yeah, it would be normal to be afraid. Absolutely, positively, the normal response, an appropriate response of an angelic being. When someone is confronted by a divine visitation or a mighty work of God, yeah. But what I would have lost it. And this little girl, this young woman, was discerning in her fear, figuring it out, troubled by it. Well, this ain't right. I'd be like, oh, I couldn't think straight. That's why I've always said women are smarter than men. Sorry, guys. he assures her once again. Absolutely. I'll take assurance all day long. Okay? Meaning firmness of mind, undoubting steadiness. Understand, it's okay. He has called you favored one. He's a divine favor. It's given reasons for encouragement. In 2 Kings, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Does anybody recognize the story? Oh, man, that is a good one. That is a good one. I believe it's Elisha, isn't it? And Elisha had an army coming to get him, an army. And his little sidekick woke up and saw this army waiting for them. And he's assuredly concerned and afraid. And he's like, Master, Master, wake up, what are we to do? And what does he do? He prays. Elisha the prophet prays to God and says, Dear Lord, let his eyes be opened and see who is on our side. And God did that. He heard him and he saw this sidekick of his, this servant of his, looked over and saw on the mountains chariots of fire and angelic beings. And that's why he said, For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You can't see him, but he's there. I got goosebumps. Sorry. He's there. Our Lord is there with us all the time. The Holy Spirit is our deposit of this gift. Isaiah 41:10, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for what I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Not you can do it. Not you've got this. Not you're going to help yourself. But I will. Our God will. That's right. Our strength is nothing compared to our God's. We could never save ourselves. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, verse 31, and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Hebrew, meaning Jeshua, which means Lord of salvation. Praise God. Christos, meaning anointed one, literally means Messiah. Conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall. She's going to have the coming Messiah. She will be the mother of our Savior. I mean, I love all you mothers, but the mother of our Savior. And this poor girl is just humble enough to sit here and listen, discerning enough to ask proper questions, not doubting, just trying to figure it out. That's very important. She didn't doubt. She's just going, why me? Why now? This is literally the annunciation of the Messiah, meaning God becoming man. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give birth to him. The Lord will give to him the throne of David. Because the verse 31 tells her, she asks the rightful question, how am I going to do this when I'm a virgin? And he says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of David. Literally, when he says the Son of the Most High, literally, signifying that God, he's equal with God. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom, there will be no end. We will have the eternal permanence of Christ's rule over all of us. Can you imagine her taking this all in? I had a hard time taking it in American history. Okay? I mean, to take all this in, my head would be swimming. And Mary said to the angel, here's her humility. Here's her discernment. Here's her wisdom. Mary said, how will this be since I'm a virgin? I have never known a man. How can this possibly happen? And this is where maybe she might fully get the presence of what's happening here. Faith. She has the faith. Mary's question was from wonder, not from doubt or disbelief, but from faith. How will this happen? Because Zechariah doubted. Elizabeth's husband, they were old, she was barren, they had no children. Gabriel said, you will have a son. And he's like, well, wait a minute. And because he doubted, he couldn't speak until the son was born. All right? Mary's not doubting. Mary's just inquisitive. The angel answered her. The Holy Spirit, boom. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, okay? Totally engulfed by the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God will overshadow you. And therefore, if God created all that we can see, do we not think that he could not have Mary conceive? And therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, because the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and God the Most High overpowers her, and therefore the result of that will be the Son of God. Our Lord, our Savior, God is omnipotent, almighty, possessing unlimited power, all power, the being that can create worlds must be omnipotent. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and in this sixth month with her, who is called barren. It's the same angel that visited them. Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And so verse 37 really literally says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Okay? And she's like, call it good. Take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Isaiah 43:13, even from eternity, I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? I love that quote. In the King James Version and the New King James Version, this is the ESV. For even from eternity, I am he. Okay, that's powerful. It's impressive. But indeed, before the day was, I am he. That lays it right there. That tells you who he is. Indeed, before I even decided to make a day, I was already here. That's our God. It reminds me, Thursday in my LifeWise class, it's hilarious because we have just a couple more classes. So we read through the new chapter, and I said, let's have some questions. And so we started, the kids actually, I got a gob of questions, and it was great. I love the fact that the kids are asking questions, but they were asking about, I think it started off as like, well, it was about creation, in which we covered in the first chapter, which was when we started, but it took all this time for the kids to click a little bit. So all the questions were about Genesis 1 and where was God before he created all this? And it was really hard for me to try and get them to grasp the fact that he was already there. I said, if you close your eyes and cover your hands over your eyes, I said, that's as close as I can think to nothingness, because you just see black and maybe a little few red speckles. I said, he created everything out of there. Yeah, but where was he before that? I said, he was just there. He completely existed all before. And they're like, yeah, but what was he doing? Was he just waiting there? It was just great. Kid questions. So this version, indeed, before the day was, I am he. We're old enough to understand what that means. I mean, there was God, and then he decided to create everything else. God was always there. God's always been there. Okay, and so I could literally see the human perspective in these, 10, 11 year old, 12? I don't know. I have fifth and sixth graders. So whatever, but I could literally see our human position. Well, but what was he doing before? Well, I mean, I don't think he has to entertain himself. He's God, you know what I mean? But I mean, think of what he created. So it was really cute. And this is what it reminds me of. So one more time, he is omnipotent. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. Finally, 38 verse, Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. come on. You know, I mean, as close as I came to that at her age, I said I'm sorry to my dad because I had to. You know, not because I understood what was happening, but wow. Wow. She submitted to God's will. Okay. If you want me to be the mother of the Savior of the world, God's son, okay. She graciously submitted to it, but I'm blown away by her discernment, her humility, her willingness to do this, you know, and these are some of her characteristics. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is characterized by her profound humility, her unwavering faith, obedience, and devotion to God. That's not just for her, guys. It's for all of us. These are things that we all need to carry in our bag of salvation, hope, okay? For us to believe that we are going to be where God says we're going to be, we have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves. We have to trust God in everything, that Christ did come and died for everything that we've done wrong. Christ was the only way that could be because he was the only perfect one. We are born and we're sinful. You don't even get a chance. We're already sinful. You know, I've seen little babies kick little brothers. I've seen it. And that really was a perfect picture for me to see because I don't have children of my own, but I saw my two grandkids. The two-year-old literally took the baby and just put a whoosh. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's sin. Yeah, we don't get away from it. Amen. We're born with it. Amen. He's the only way. He's the only one. And this little lady was his mother. And you all know how hard it is to be mothers. And those of us that are male, sorry, moms. I'm just going to say that. I'm sorry for everything I did. But listen, she was humble. She was faithful. She was obedient to God. She had an angel giving her a classroom, giving her, you know, here's your lesson for the day. I'm going to be patient with you because you're a sweetheart. You know, I mean, this is my words. This is how I see it. He's like, okay. And she asked good questions. She was wise. She was humble. She was quiet about it. She was obedient. She was devoted. She was raised in the faith. She was pure. She was a virgin. She was patient. She trusted God. Do we trust God? We trust God with our lives. We trust that he says everything in here is going to come true. That's our hope of salvation, of what he did for us. He gave us a way. Only we can ruin it. There's a perfect path right there. Christ, believe in what he did so he can change your heart through the Holy Spirit that would live within you. Okay? We trust him and we're willing. You're going to walk away from your old life and she is going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Okay? She's loving and she's faithful. These are all great characteristics, not just for Mary, the mother of Jesus, but for every person that walks this earth. Amen? So I praise every mother in here and everyone that you know. I thank you for the work that you do raising kids because I know it can't be easy, especially, you know, in today's world with technology and all the things that are going on, their access to what's happening out there. You know, I didn't have that access growing up and I thank God I didn't, but I weep for our children and it's even harder now for mothers to maintain the straight line, and I praise you for doing it. And I pray that you pray every day for the strength to keep up with it. Because your child's life starts with you and your example. Let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for our mothers, and we give you all praise and glory and honor. We thank you for your story about how the angel of Gabriel visited Mary and told and announced the coming of our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the example that Mary was. Father, I pray that each and every one of us here leave here today with that love that you have for us, with that patience that you have for us, that we too need to have that faith that you've given us to trust you and be willing to do the things we need to do, to be faithful in our prayer, be faithful in reading your word, to be faithful in encouraging one another and coming alongside, to be faithful to meeting your house so that we may give you all praise, glory, and honor that you are due. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I pray that as we leave here today, that you will walk with each and every one of us, that we would be able to feel your very presence. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen.